Hi, it's Alison here. I'm real blessed to be sharing with you. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 14. And the subject is Learn the Heart of Jesus. And in Matthew 14, verse 22, we read, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him onto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary." Now, this is a really interesting section. We see that Jesus constrained his disciples. And that word constrained, it means compelled or even forced the disciples to get into the ship and cross the sea to the other side. And we must remember that the disciples were fishermen. All their family had been fishermen. They knew the fishing business and they knew how to read the signs of the weather. I'm sure they knew a storm was coming and they did not want to get into the boat and cross over at this time. But Jesus compelled them to do so. And we see verse 24, "The ship was now in the middle of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary." It was a really bad storm. And Jesus had sent them into it, you could say. He went to the mountain to pray. His cousin had just died. He had to pray. And the disciples were in the boat in the middle of a storm. And you know, as I talk to you, September 2021, we are really experiencing some storms in life, are we not? This is not a peaceful season. I cannot speak for the situation in the USA, but here in the UK, the government has put fear into people. There's enforced lockdowns and isolations on healthy young people that are really quite inhumane. A democracy is destroyed when a government engages in mass coercion, and history shows us this. And these are troubled times, and we think, well, what are we to do here? And this little section of scripture shows us. Because, verse 25, "In the fourth watch of the night, Jesus came to them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, 'It's a spirit,' and they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, 'Be of good cheer. It's me. Be not afraid.'" Some translations translate "be of good cheer" as "cheer up." Then, "It's me. Don't fear." And isn't that the heart of our Lord Jesus Christ and the life that he lived? We know that he overcame. And as we read on, we see Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it's you, tell me, come unto thee in the water." He said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, saying unto him, "O thou of little faith, why did you doubt? Why did you doubt?" This is so super. You look at this section and you think, what was Jesus teaching Peter here? Was this a college or a school on learning how to walk in the water? Okay, Peter, you go first, you others watch, then next after Peter, let's have a go. No, I don't think so. He was showing him that in everything, no matter what the storm is, we have the victory in Christ. And this is the most outlandish situation, walking on the sea. And this is what Jesus is showing him. Peter walked in the water. Then he lost his focus. And he looked around him and he started to go down. And here in these troubled times that we're living in, if we take our eyes off of Jesus and start to get really deeply focused on injustice and other matters and how our personal life has been changed by the last 18 months, it won't help our lives at all. We know there's things we have to deal with. I know how I have to deal with those who are perhaps in isolation. It's not a situation that's my choice, but I go into it with Jesus, knowing that no matter the storm, we have the victory. Let's look at Hebrews 12:2. And as I said, it was Peter's focus on Jesus Christ that allowed him to do the impossible. And in Hebrews 12:2 and 3, the Word of God says, we're looking unto Jesus. Verse 3 says, we consider Jesus. And I'd like to read from the Message Bible, the translation of this verse. It's really quite wonderful. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race we're in. Study how he did it, because he never lost sight of where he was headed. That exhilarating finish with God. He could put up with anything along the way. The cross, the shame, whatever. And now he's there in the place of honour, right alongside God. That's the Message Bible, Hebrews 12, 1 to 3. So we're looking at Jesus, and I want to look now at Matthew 11 and verse 28. This is a wonderful section of scripture, and Jesus speaks here, Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. These words of Jesus Christ are just so wonderful. And it's Charles Spurgeon who points out there's only one verse in the Gospels where Jesus speaks of his heart. And he uses two words to describe his heart. Now, if I asked you, how would you describe your heart? You think of two words that would describe your heart. You might come up with noble, educated, strong, brave. The two words that Jesus came up with are meek and lowly. Meek and lowly. And when we look at Jesus Christ, we surely see this. You know, when the guards came to arrest him in the Garden of Gethsemane, it was a total injustice. that he was arrested. And Peter knew that. And he stood up for the injustice. He took that sword, that dagger, and he would have taken off Malchus's head, but it ended up taking his ear. And how did Jesus respond to injustice? He healed Malchus. He told Peter, "This is not the way." And he healed Malchus. How are we responding to injustices? Are we getting angry? Are we getting opinionated? Are we getting all knowledgeable and read up in the facts and figures so that we can post this on Facebook or say this when that person comes out with such and such? We are just ready because we've got it right. Well, that was not the heart of Jesus. He was meek and lowly. He was the one who washed the disciples' feet, the most lowly act ever. Peter just couldn't hack it and said, "I cannot let you do this." And Jesus corrected him and said, "If you don't let me do this, you have no part with me." To really see and understand the heart of our Lord Jesus, we need to learn of his meek and lowly heart. In these three verses, we see come, take, and learn. Come, take, and learn. We must come to Jesus Christ. We hear a lot about long distance learning, don't we? Well, we can't do that with Jesus, you know. Jesus can't be in Texas and I'm in Oxford here and I'll do some long distance learning. No, 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 I think not. I have to come to him. And we hear this term, the intimacy of relationship with Jesus Christ. Well, if we are close and we come unto him, we will feel and experience the beauty of his heart. You know, the heart of a person is what makes that person. It really is. And we've all known people, haven't we? And as we've gotten to know them better, we've got to know their heart. And then we see them in a different way. That's how it is with Jesus. And, you know, you think of the religious wars throughout the centuries. You think of the Crusades, Protestants, Catholics going to war and killing each other in the name of the Bible. The words mean nothing if the heart is not right. In the same way as 1 Corinthians 13 talks about speaking in tongues. If we don't do that with the love of God, it's just a noise, it says in the Bible. So Jesus, choosing these words, meek and lowly, he wants us to learn this for our heart. We come unto him. And we take that yoke, that connection, that relationship with him. We take his yoke and we learn of him. You know, it's prideful people who have a problem with learning. And certainly there's some prideful people in Oxford City here. People who are very learned, very clever. But if you cannot be humble, then you cannot keep learning. And pride is certainly an enemy of learning. If we think, "Oh, I've heard that before," or "Oh, I don't need to listen to this," then that's not a good place to be. Jesus wants us to learn his heart. And you know, as we look at Jesus, we see He was not an impulsive man. He was never harsh, so I should never be harsh. The posture of Jesus was not a pointing finger. It was open arms, saying, come unto me to all people. Jesus saying he was meek and lowly, he made himself, by saying this, the most accessible human being that ever walked this planet. There was just nobody who could not come to Jesus. And we know from reading the Gospels that those who had pride stood afar off, but the publicans, the sinners, they just loved him. They craved to be near him. What kind of man was this? Oh gosh, we need to learn of the beauty of his heart, don't we? So let's turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And we see that the Apostle Paul was meek and lowly in heart. 1 Thessalonians and chapter 2 and verse 7. It says here in the King James, we were gentle among you as a nurse cherishes her children. And I'd like to read from the Passion Translation from this verse. Even though we could have imposed upon you our demands as apostles of Christ, instead we showed you kindness and were gentle among you. We cared for you in the same way as a nursing mother cares for her own children. Doesn't that give you such a tender picture? That's how Paul was with the believers, and that's how we should be too. With a mother's love and affectionate attachment to you, we were very happy to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our lives, because you had become so dear to us. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that just overflowing with the love of God and the tenderness of Christ? Just so great. So great. Let's go to Philippians chapter 2. And in verse 5 we see, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And by looking at learning the heart of Jesus Christ, it helps us embrace this verse, doesn't it? That we can let the mind, the tenderness and the meek, lowly heart of Jesus be within us. Verse 6, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. Isn't that remarkable? You know, the world will teach us that from 16, 17 years old, you start building your reputation. You add it to your CV. You're told to focus on building your reputation. Sometimes changing your motive to be impure to build that reputation. Maybe a little lie slipped in there to build that reputation. But Jesus wasn't like that. He made himself of no reputation. How meek and lowly is that? And of course, lowly means to make low, which Jesus did. Healing Malchus's ear the man who was taking him away unjustly, washing the disciples' feet. And here, verse 7, he took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And because he did that, God highly exalted him. So those are my thoughts today regarding the beauty of come, take, learn from that section in Matthew 11, 28 to 30. And it burns in my heart. Something exciting happened. I take my grandchild to a church in Oxford. They have a super kinder church, it's called, where young ones learn the Bible. And as I was leaving, she was pulling my arm, I saw a lovely young girl, a believer girl, and I quickly said, "Hello, how are you?" And a lady drew up beside the two of us and said, "Oh, I was at Corn Market. I got to preach the word. It was really good. I was so nervous." I said, "Really?" I said, "May I do that if I come along?" She said, "Yes." I said, "What time will you be there?" "Saturday noon." So that's great. So this past Saturday, noontime, I got the bus into town and I came, and there was a little table set up with small Bibles. Corn Market is the busiest street in the middle of Oxford. Everybody coming and going. And I've seen Morris preaching in Corn Market, but I haven't chatted to him before. But it was great. I spoke to Syrah. She said, "You came." I said, "I did." And Morris spoke a bit, Syrah. And then I got this little microphone over my head, and I opened my mouth for the Lord Jesus Christ and spoke words of life. Jesus is knocking at the door of your heart today. Jesus is a gentleman. He will not force himself in, but he is inviting you. Listen to his still, quiet voice. Listen to him today. So there I go. So I was about 20, 25 minutes speaking the word. So I made eye contact with quite a few. Some stopped and listened. I got to speak to quite a few too. It's an interesting situation because it changes each moment as you speak, and the Lord is active and working in people's hearts. So I see it as a time of planting seeds. And I'm going again next Saturday, and hopefully this will be a regular time for me to speak life and to reach out. You know, I think we need to connect with the needy. God cares deeply for the least, for the last, and for the lost. Jesus spoke the parable of the shepherd with 100 sheep. For the one out of 100, he went to look for him, and there was great rejoicing. So when one soul turns to the Lord Jesus, the angels are dancing in heaven. So I'm sure your hearts there in San Diego and those who are listening are the same as mine. We want to get those angels dancing, don't we? So we'll speak out for the Lord Jesus Christ. He will ever be the way, the truth, and the life.